All right. We are in Isaiah 50, and we've really only got a couple of more places to go in Ezekiel. The Lord just kind of snuck me off in this area. And then we'll be back to Abraham, and we'll start in where he says, "My Lord, Adonai," which started this whole thing. So praise God, yeah. So right now we're in Isaiah. And it's Isaiah 50.
Let's hear it for Isaiah 50.
Yeah, and I appreciated the comments last week, which were more than comments. They were declaring the truth that is in Isaiah 50. And just to go back and catch up, let's go to Isaiah 50, verse 5, starting at verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. Praise God. That sound good to me and you? The Lord God hath opened my ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. And isn't it interesting that maybe that scripture out of Exodus 21 is talking about going through the corridor or staying in the corridors or staying in sufferings as a slave and all that that would entail just to be with his Adonai. Wouldn't that be interesting? All right, verse 6, and I gave my back to the smiters and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And let's face it, many in Christianity are, you know, they're trying to be circumspect and everything proper. They one of the last things they want to do is give themselves to shame and spitting. Right? It's like, no, that's what happens to evildoers. No, that's what evildoers will do to you if you want the Lord, if you really want him and understand him and understand that spirit that he is, then you will go through that like Exodus 21, like the slave that becomes permanent. And as I said, I really did appreciate the sharing up to this point. We'll start in verse 10, but last week, because it really, really, really is where Romans 8 came from. And Romans 8 is way more than most people think. I mean, it's like, if you really look at those scriptures, if you really look at what he's trying to say, you realize that this is not, I mean, you know, because it begins with, "There is therefore now no more condemnation," and we don't seem to get past verse 1. Whoopee! You know? But man, especially the latter part really is wonderful along these lines right here that we're discussing. And And if you get a chance, I know you're all super busy, but if you get a chance, get into the latter part of Romans 8 and let the Spirit of God show it to you like he did to Mallory and others. I think Mallory even said, "I was surprised there it was," you know, and it is. It is. And so many other places that we really don't know. Okay, so verses, let's, in earnest now, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Okay. Well, that sounds like a double entendre. It sounds like a double meaning, doesn't it? I mean, who is among you that feareth the Lord? Okay. And who obeys the voice? Okay. That walks in darkness and hath no light. Well, it's talking about the corridor. You, trust me, you can fear the Lord or respect the Lord honor the Lord in that way and obey his voice and still walk in the darkness of the corridor and not really fully grasp what it's about. And you have no light. And he says, because the Lord will do that, bring you into that dark. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's going to bring you there. This is the shepherd psalm. You know, he leadeth me beside. He leadeth me. Okay, well, guess who leads you into the valley of the shadow of death? It's the same shepherd. Don't abandon shepherd, a ship, you know, when he leads you there, because he does everything with purpose. Everything he does with purpose. And it is to bring more of Christ out of you. And if you don't want to go into the valley of the shadow of death, or you don't want to go through the corridor or all that kind of stuff, quit praying that he'll, you know, reveal more of Christ in you. Just stop praying like that. Say, Lord, make me more happy on earth and bless me with more toys. Ooh. And never let my, you know, feet touch the ground. May I always walk above everything. Well, anyway, so I wrote in verse 10, he's talking to those who walk in darkness and have no light, yet they are God-fearing people. This is the corridor of suffering. And then verse 11, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, and ye shall lie down in sorrow. Okay, but you'll be with him because you'll be able to walk in the light of the fire. You won't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to test you, but it's not testing your Christianity. It's testing your lamb quotient. So let's go ahead and hop over to just a couple of the verses in Isaiah 51. And verse 1 says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Okay, my God. See, this is coming straight out of 50, chapter 50. And he says, if you're following after righteousness, then you're going to hearken to him and seek the Lord. Okay, so he says, seek the Lord. So we go, okay, Jesus, you wonderful, just huggable, so precious, so precious. Sorry, sound like somebody else there. But what is he talking about here? Ye that seek the Lord, do you? Then look to the rock from which you were hewn. Okay, well, what does that mean? Everything. Where could we find something here that could help explain this? First Peter. All right? First Peter 1, or First Peter 2, verse 4 through 8. Yes? We've lost everybody? Oh, that's fine. All right. So we shall continue on then. All right. So we were talking about the rock. And in 1 Peter 2, now you tell me, I'm not sure about all the Hebrew and the different words here, but you tell me if this doesn't sound the same as 1 Peter. So let's go back to Isaiah 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. And so he's saying, if you seek the Lord, here's what you need to do. Look unto the rock from which you were hewn. Okay? He's not saying, ye that seek the Lord, go to church or go to temple or all of these things. He's saying, look to the rock out of which you were hewn. All right. So now let's listen to 1 Peter 2, 4, and maybe we'll read beyond it. But to whom coming, so ye that seek the Lord, to whom coming, who are you coming to? As a living stone. You're seeking the rock that was disallowed. That's Christ crucified. You're coming to the one who passed through the corridor. You're coming to the one who himself bore shame and bore all this, and he did it for us and he did it for others. And it was the thing that was the acceptable death, the acceptable self-giving. He didn't rail back. He didn't condemn. He didn't justify himself. And so he's saying, to whom coming is a disallowed stone. That's who you're coming to, because disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. Okay, so what does it mean, disallowed of men? It means that this was the Son of God, and they rejected him. They rejected what he stood for. They stood against everything that was right. Nothing in him was wrong so that you could truly condemn it. So every ounce of it was unfair to the max. And one of the things I think that happens when you get deep into the corridor, when you've taken a few little dance throughs, you know, is you really begin to understand the depth of what this thing is going to be like. Because it's not a cakewalk. But on the other hand, if you know, if you've come to the stone, this 1 Peter, that was disallowed, out of which you were hewn, but was chosen of God and precious, rejected of men, chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones, meaning you too need to be hewn out of this same rock. You need to be of this stone that was disallowed of men. Okay? Now, we're not talking about every day and every step and everything and all of our whole life from this point on. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when the Lord says it's time for you to grow up and you need to be brought through this, because the truth is that it'll never, ever, no matter how much we've learned this and how many ways we can find it in the scripture, you will never, ever truly have it until you've gone through this corridor of suffering in a right spirit by his nature through the Lamb, and then you'll understand all that you learned. But you don't understand it by hearing it. You don't. And in fact, the potential is that it can puff a person up, because they think, well, I really have, man, this really is there, and I see it in the scripture and everything. Well, the goal isn't to see it in the scripture. The goal isn't to, you know, see something. The goal is to be something and to be that in the crunch. when, you know, we say where the rubber meets the road, that means where you get run over. Right. Amen. A lot of evildoers driving around out there. Okay, so ye as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood. What if it is only those who come to this disallowed stone and become hewed out of it and understand that this disallowed stone that has been maligned and lied about and everything else is chosen of God and is precious right there in that state? And then you are supposed to be a living stone after this manner. And if you are, then you, not all just because you're a Christian, but you are being built up as a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Okay? Why? Because you understand. See, the priests of old didn't understand the sacrifice they offered. They didn't understand the sacrifice. The best they understood was, thank God this dumb beast, this lamb, has become a replacement for us because we're more precious to God. And that's why he decided to kill this lamb, all these lambs, because we're so precious to God that, you know, he didn't want us to die. So he let the lambs die. Well, what if what was precious to him was the lamb? And he's using the altar to get rid of us. Well, that's New Testament. I am crucified with Christ. Anybody ever heard that before? You know, that's New Testament. So, and the way this is worded is disallowed indeed of God, but chosen and precious. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house. All of those who have been hewn out of this rejected, disallowed, that have gone through the same thing, but by his life in you, you have been disallowed. You have been rejected. But once you get through that, then you're not the only one who'll ever make it through there. And those who are making it through there, they're the ones being built up to a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up. See, all those words are right there in a row. Do you see that? They're all right there in a row. It's when it talks about a disallowed stone, that's offered up. When it talks about living stones, they have been offered up. And because of that, God's putting together a spiritual house, a holy priesthood that can offer up what in this spirit, in this nature. Beasts are all you evildoers. They'll talk about justice all day long, which reminds me, but anyway, they'll talk about justice. Well, this is just, we need to have justice here and do this to so-and-so because they shouldn't have, you know, all this kind of junk. I mean, it's just unrighteous as it can be, but in their mind it's justified. Did we lose them again? I started to say, if I keep preaching, maybe we'll lose them all. I'm kidding, y'all. Keep holding on. You know, ye that seek the Lord, come to the rock. All right, so to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. They're not acceptable by us. And it's not like we offer something and Jesus looks at it and says, that's acceptable. And it's acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, yeah, that's acceptable. That ain't it. It's acceptable by the giving lamb of the life of Christ. And that's what we're offering up. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, Peter, why don't you get off this stone thing? Because he's seen it. He saw it firsthand. He knew Jesus had done nothing wrong. He saw the viciousness of how they were treating him. He understood what he went through. He didn't at the time. But later, it just really hit him. And so he knows he's going to keep on this thing. That's why it's contained in Scripture. Wherefore, also it is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Okay. And I'm telling you, the word confounded is a very important word that will usually signal that somebody has not understood this spirit in this way, this nature. They haven't understood it. They're confounded. And when I say that, it has to do with their wisdom, their way that they see things, the way that they think. And the way that they think is, no, the bad people should die, not the good people. No, this is not right. This shouldn't be happening. This is so wrong. Well, see, they never apply any of that to Jesus. As long as they're saved, it's like, I'm glad this is happening to you, Jesus. And nobody stands up and says, I should have died, and I want to die. I don't want it to be on you. It's unfair, da-da-da-da, see? But they'll do that if they're put in the corridor and they don't understand it. This isn't fair. This isn't right. They can go around the world with all that. But the question is not right or wrong, good or evil. The question is, what kind of life? What kind of life? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, and he's talking about rebelling, if you will, in the corridor. Again, protecting yourself, indignant of the unrighteousness of the situation, pride rising in them and saying, man, I don't want this shame. What will my family think? What if they put something on the internet and it goes around the world and everywhere I go, people look my name up on the internet and they go, what do I do then? That could ruin everything. Well, actually, it will open the doors that the Lord wants open, and there'll be people that God sends, not your little spiel on the internet of how spiritual you are or whatever. All right, declaring yourself, It's like, Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, and unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, as they also were appointed. All right, so every bit of that, all that stumbling and everything is... Let's look at it from the Greeks' point of view, okay? Let's just say the Greeks, okay. So the Greeks, they were different than the Romans. The Romans used power, man. They had force, and they had all these armies, and the Greeks did too. But the Greeks' whole society was built on superior wisdom, they were able to figure out stuff and strategize and do all this kind of stuff and had great philosophies and all these kind of things. And so you come to the Greeks and you say, okay, you can be saved. Well, what do you mean saved? Well, instead of you going to hell and suffering for all the things you did wrong, God killed his own son and hung him on a Roman cross and crucified him. And and this was the power of God and the wisdom of God. And all you got to do is believe not just in him, but him that is this way as God. This is your God. This is your God. And the good news is he rose from the dead. Well, a Greek would go, I think it would be better if they didn't kill him and he just killed them. Wouldn't that be better wisdom? Well, they would never say that. What they would say is, this is a scandal. This is the most foolish, moronic, that word actually there is moronic, thing I've ever heard in my life. They're confounded. They don't understand. They're stumbling at that rock. He's a rock of offense. Okay. Well, all right, we all can understand that. Then why cannot we understand that that's what the Bible is talking about over and over and over, that we are supposed to be these lively stones, these living stones that have been hewn out of this same rejected stone and have this same spirit, and that this is the house that he wants, and that this is the priesthood that he wants. And, I can't explain everything in the Bible. There's so much I don't know. But, we would say, okay, well, if this is the priesthood, then there's a priesthood for the people. So that means I'm still saved. Okay. If all you want is to be saved from hell, if that's all you want, then, get saved and then just live any way you want. Or live as a good, clean American Christian. But what about what he wants? What about what he created the earth for? What about what he created us for? What about what he created you for? Are you okay with ignoring his heart in all of this? Are you too ashamed of appearing that way that you cannot bear reproach or slander or any of that? I just can't bear it. I can't bear it. It's too much. It makes me look bad. My pride is killing my pride. Except we'd never say that. We just say, it's too much. We don't say what part of me is it too much for. So, and I'm not going to take the time, the pit from whence you're digged, but Joseph is a good example of that. And Joseph was a perfect example of that, because he did hear from God, but he heard, the three passages or parts of the phases of the corridor. The last one is glory and fellowshipping, the fellowshipping part, not the suffering part. You know what I'm saying? Over here's the suffering part. Over here you get the fellowship with him because you pass through that. And like I said, we've really not spent much time over here on the third part, but it's the best part. But, First Peter spells it out pretty plain. But anyway, so Joseph, he hears this great thing that's going to happen to him and everything, and he goes down to his brothers, and his father gives him a coat of many colors and all this kind of stuff. He goes down to his brothers, and they're all jealous, and they see the coat, and they see that he's not taking care of the sheep. Every other son is. He's just coming down, bringing them something to eat or whatever. And so they say, man, we got to kill this kid because he's bragging about what he's seen from the Lord and all this kind of stuff. And so, which should be a lesson to us, stop bragging about it, or we'll kill you, the brethren. Anyway, And so, you know, they throw him in a pit. Well, the pit gets worse until it's a dungeon. But God is with him all the way. You know that. God is with him all the way. God did that. God allowed that because he wanted something more, because Joseph, with that coat of many colors, was the firstborn. And if the firstborn is in you, then this is what he expects. So, enough said on that. Y'all know all this. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you. He didn't say unto Sarah who was a good wife. He said Sarah who bare you, meaning went through all of the travail and trial, went through the thing. And that's a picture. Childbirth is a picture of passing through the corridor in the sense, you know. It's suffering, but not over sin. Right? And the scripture, Jesus, not the scripture, Jesus said, and, you know, you go through labor and all this stuff, and it's hard and da-da-da-da, but after the sun comes forth, if you will, there's joy, and you forget what you passed through, okay? So Abraham and Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. And I wrote down, blessed and increased him because he had a right spirit and offered his son and did it not withhold him from the sacrifice. So here's the words God spoke to Abraham after that. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And God said, and by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for by myself, I swear by myself because there is no greater. Because thou hast done this thing and hast not, what thing? Has not withheld thy son, thine only son, your firstborn son. You didn't withhold the firstborn from me. You let him come out of you. You let him be given. That in blessing, I'm going to bless you, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. I want this kind of a seed. So I'm going to multiply. He didn't go to Ishmael and say, you know, I'm going to multiply your seed, you know, because I want this so bad. No, God said, I'll multiply Ishmael's seed because your daddy over here didn't understand at the time when he asked me to bless you, Ishmael, and your seed, that I had something I wanted. It wasn't about what he wanted as a seed, as a son, as a firstborn. And in multiplying thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice, because you've obeyed my voice. Which was what? To let the firstborn go. God said to Moses. These are all different stories. God said the first thing he said to Moses when he was in the wilderness or taking care of the sheep, and going to send him to Pharaoh, he said, go tell Pharaoh, let my son, my firstborn son, go. Let my firstborn, I want my firstborn. Let him come unto me in sacrifice. That's what he said. And so he says that to us. We're like Pharaoh in our beings. We're gonna rule the roost. We're gonna be, you know, something. We're gonna be all this kind of stuff. And he's saying, look, I don't want you, and I don't want you to learn all this stuff. I want you to let my son go out of you, my firstborn son. Let him come to me. Dada. You know, it's a reunion. And he looks at us and he says, you're like Egypt. I put my son in you. But you won't let him go to me. All right, back to Isaiah 51. Verse 3. And this is the last part of Isaiah 51 we're going to study. And then we will go back to Ezekiel after this. Okay. Verse 3 out of Isaiah 51. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. What? What are you doing? You know, that's where we dump the garbage. And he will make her wilderness like Eden, like the Garden of Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. He will comfort that which went through his sufferings, which is what? The waste places, the wilderness, the desert. He's, see, we go, well, you know, I was born in Texas, you know, so, or I moved here and it's hot. But the Lord's going to, you know, give me joy over this wilderness that I live in. Well, I probably won't, you know. Need to go back to the happy place you were at. But when it comes to this, when it comes to the quarter, when it comes to the heart, a willing heart that says, I want to let your son go in the manner that you want me to let him go, which is through sacrifice that will rise unto you and be a sweet savor to you. I want to let him go, and it's going to be like a waste places and a wilderness and a desert, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a land forsaken, which Jesus was. And the Lord's response to that is, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. Over here, last phase of the corridor. He will comfort all of her waste places. All of the waste places. See, he's not going to, you know, when you go through that, you have way more waste places than you have, you know, special me places. But he won't, here's the comfort. The wilderness, like Eden, the waste places, the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. In those places, in those waste places, in those deserts, in those wilderness, right there is where all of this garden is going to break out. It's not just going to come to you because I'm a good God. God is good all the time. Okay, thanks. Tell him that when he leads you into the valley of the shadow of death. God is good all the time. Anyway, so I wrote down it's willing weakness. It's willing weakness. But he shall make them the garden of the Lord. What is the result? Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Trust me. Once you've passed through this and you've stayed with him, this quarter of suffering, and you've stayed with him in the heat of it, joy and thanksgiving are easy to come by. I mean, anybody ever lead worship and go, my God, what is, come on, people, you know? Anybody ever shared and people went, okay. Do, do, do. but joy and thanksgiving. See, thanksgiving, why is that thrown in there? Joy might be just centered on us, but joy and thanksgiving because you understand exactly by the Holy Spirit, by Adonai, you understand what he has brought you into and what he's brought you out of, and the difference between what you were when you went in and what you'll be when you come out is worth joy and thanksgiving forever and ever. Amen. Father, so precious. You're so precious to us. Many may not understand all of this. I recognize that. But I know that your Spirit is trying to open our hearts and eyes to something that is not just all about suffering and doing without and some horrible experience. It's hard for a human being, Father, I know, to turn and hear that by some human voice and think there's any validity to it. But Father, you speak it to us. And you have your Spirit speak it to us. And you have Christ be the faithful witness of it all. So that we too may, as you said, you've opened my ear. Now you've given me the tongue of the learned. All of that, Father, has been in Isaiah 50. And now we can bear what we need to bear. And then we can rejoice and in the glory that your Son in us will bring you as we pass through this. And the joy of the Son that we allowed him in us for him to give himself in the manner that he did at the cross and he did for us over and over in our lives and never saw it. But we will no longer be takers. We will let Jesus live. We will let the firstborn come to you out of us in sacrifice. We will stop being selfish and self-focused and living in a world that is totally set up to glorify the individual and be willing to move into your realm, your world, your heart, your nature, your life, and to do it willingly, to embrace willing weakness. So, Father, we just ask not just what was shared tonight, but let your word go forth in Jesus' name. Amen.